Dan Clark on All Things Consider.
That's right, Nick. This week's show is going to be exciting. We're going to be talking about two of my favorite things, donuts and comic books.
We'll be joined with Tom Lounges and Allison the Dietitian, with the owners of Donuts and Comics of Crown Point. Join us at our new time from 3 to 4. Call in and join the conversation.
You're listening to 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio. Listener-supported public radio in Northwest Indiana. WLPR FM Lowell.
Welcome to Casual Fridays with me, Jerry Davich, and Karen Walker, and Dan Clark. On today's show, we welcome into our show, Susan Jones, the mother of the 15-month-old baby whose father, a former Porter County police officer, was arrested last week on charges of violently shaking the baby, leading to serious health problems, according to police. What has the baby gone through since the tragedy, as the mother describes it? Will the boy ever have a normal life again? And what happened in the middle of that night on that fateful day? We'll find out on today's show. We also will talk on the studio line with Morgan Snyder, a representative from Visit Indy, the tourism agency touting Indianapolis, our favorite little big city, as we call it. If you're looking for a getaway destination, we'll give you all the details. And we'll play one of your voicemails to us, which taps into a chronic complaint from the older generation of listeners and readers against the younger generations. All that and more on today's Casual Fridays, folks. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these brief news updates.
Oh, it's Casual Friday.
Casual Friday, what does that mean?
That means we just dress like we would at home.
But you're not at home.
No, but it's just Casual Friday.
Yeah, I know. You told me that already. What do you do on Casual Friday?
Well, we just come in, do our work, but we dress casually.
I don't like it.
Well, it's just one day of the week.
I don't give a damn if it's half a day a week. I don't like it.
All right, we're getting better.
Yeah. Welcome to Casual Fridays with Jerry Davich, me, Karen Walker, and him. That's Dan Clark.
Hello.
Our show on the Lakeshore is supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage for what matters most.
Yes, and if you miss any part of today's show, it's re-aired. No worries. 7 o'clock tonight. Same bat channel, same bat time kind of thing. And soon posted online, lakeshorepublicradio.org, where you can find all of our previous shows.
Braxton Jones was just 6 months old when his father allegedly shook him so violently that it led to the arrest last week of Curtis Jones, a former Porter County cop whose initial court hearing attracted a lot of media attention.
Yeah, earlier this week I met with Braxton's mother, Susan Jones of Hebron, who is estranged from her husband as their divorce gets finalized, I'm told. She has been in contact with me for a few months, actually, waiting to share her side of this sad incident, mostly what her baby has been through since, as she calls the tragedy. Multiple surgeries, cutting-edge treatments, costly medical bills for a baby who will never be a semblance of who he used to be.
Susan will be calling us in just a few moments, and she is the subject of Jerry's upcoming column in the Post-Tribune. We will hear her side of this very sad story in just a minute.
Yep, we'll also talk on the studio line with Morgan Snyder, representative from Visit Indy, the tourism agency touting Indianapolis, which Karen and I call our favorite little big city.
Yeah.
As if you're looking for a getaway destination, as we always are, it's close, it's quick, it's fun. We'll give you all the kind of details talking to Morgan.
We'll also play one of your voicemails, which taps into a chronic complaint from the older generation of listeners and readers against the younger generation.
Those younger generation kids. Plus, I'll give Lakeshore listeners a sneak peek in my weekend columns, including my Sunday column on the Hoosier Pickers. It's a group of bluegrass musicians who show up each Sunday afternoon on the Erie Lakeawanna bike trail in Cherryville to play for passersby.
Yeah, it's so
Karen and
cool.
I just bopped into them by mistake last Sunday. Mm-hmm. We loved it.
We did. All that and more in today's show. If you want to join the discussion or offer a counter view to ours, feel free to call in at 769-9577, but first,
let's welcome Susan Jones of Hebron into the show. Susan, welcome to Casual Fridays.
Hi, Jerry.
How are you doing?
We're good. We are actually in Chicago at Lurie's Children's Hospital.
And this was not supposed to be planned. You were hoping we're to get you into the Lakeshore studio today, but there was a problem with little Braxton, who's 15-month-old. Was there a problem with the feeding tube, I'm told?
There was. He pulled out his feeding tube, and yesterday he was vomiting a little bit, so they're just going to check his VP shut and his head to see if it's functioning properly.
So the story of little Braxton, of course, is getting a lot of media attention the last week or two, but I've heard from you months ago, because you wanted me to write about this and talk about this case, and I wasn't really allowed to or able to until some kind of charges were filed. And last week, charges were filed against your estranged husband and Braxton's father, Curtis Jones, who was arrested in Illinois and then transported to Porter County Jail. He's now out on bail, I'm told, or out on bond, I'm told. But give our listeners, if you would, a little idea of young Braxton before the tragedy took place in was it June 24th or July 24th?
It was July 24th.
Sorry about that. So before then, Braxton was just a fine little baby, right? No problems?
Yeah,
everything's normal?
Braxton was just the happiest, smiliest, easygoing baby. He never cried, didn't ask for much. You know, he's got a 2.5-year-old brother. They're 17 months apart. And he just always adored, you know, watching his brother and watching the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and he was a great, happy baby until this tragedy happened.
So the tragedy we're talking about took place on July 24th of last year. Susan Jones is a registered nurse. She was at work at the hospital working an overnight shift. They have a babysitter at the house. The babysitter took care of the two boys, handed the duties off to the boy's father, Curtis Jones, and sometime around 5 in the morning or so, 4:30 or 5, you got a call or a text from your estranged husband saying something was wrong with young Braxton, correct?
I did. I was sitting at the nurse's station, you know, waiting for my shift to end, and the phone at the hospital rang, not my cell phone, and it was Curtis calling, and he said, Susan, don't be concerned, but Braxton, he is cold, stiff, he's breathing, but he's okay, and he's kind of opening his eyes, but he's not. And I said, then why are you calling me? Don't ever do that again. Call 911.
And he did call 911.
He said, okay, if that's what you want me to do. Mm-hmm. So he called 911, and I just had to drop my nursing papers and run out the door and had to meet them at St. Mary's and Hobart.
So according to the probable cause affidavit for the arrest of Curtis Jones actually last week, the detective in charge of this case listened to the 911 call, and he actually heard everything taking place, and he called 911. Curtis Jones called 911, but he didn't show much urgency, according to cops, to get the emergency responders to the couple's home, according to the affidavit. He kind of chatted a little bit with the police dispatcher about mutual acquaintances, because he's a former Porter County cop, and he kind of downplayed his son's dire condition, according to police. But eventually, 911 did show up. Emergency responders came, took young Braxton to St. Mary Hospital in Hobart, correct?
Yeah, and I have not listened to that 911 call they would like me to, but I just can't bring myself back to that day.
Mm-hmm. Understandable. So now the investigation took 9 months, which was longer than Susan was happy with, of course, and that's why she contacted me. When Curtis Jones was arrested last week, he was charged with battery resulting in serious bodily injury to a person less than 14 years of age, as well as aggravated battery and neglect of a dependent, all level 3 felonies, according to the probable cause affidavit. So when you got to the hospital, he was later transported to Lurie's Children's Hospital in Chicago, correct, where you're at now?
Yeah, I remember it being too foggy. They could not fly him, so Lurie's actually had to come and pick him up. So that did not help Braxton in his situation because he did have a blood clot in his brain and needed emergency surgery. And it took probably like up to 4 hours or so to get to Chicago and get in the OR. And because of that, I believe he suffered more brain damage because it took so long, and he lost oxygen to his brain. They said he has about 10% healthy, viable brain tissue. It is the worst brain injury that they have ever seen in Chicago. That's, you know, not something a parent ever wants to hear.
Yeah, and that also is in the probable cause affidavit, according to police. The police detective who listened to the 911 call also talked with the doctors and physicians on board at Lurie's Children's Hospital, and they said that, quote-unquote, it was the worst case they've ever seen. So what happened to Braxton since that day, July 24th, through the last 3 months? He's had several surgeries, correct?
Absolutely. He's had 5 brain surgeries. They had to remove his whole left skull bone, and then he contracted meningitis in the OR. So I actually had to take back from home without his left skull bone for 5 months.
Did he wear a helmet?
He did, and it was very scary and just very sad to look at your child because he had completely sunken in. But Braxton is a miracle. We actually made him a DNR. He was in a coma for 8 days. 5 of those days, it was induced with medications, and he wasn't coming out. For about 3 days, I met with hospice. I met with organ donation. And then I just read him book after book, saying to him, never left his side. And I said, Braxton, if you want to go to God, if that's your guys' plan, go to God. Don't suffer. And but if you want to stay, then I'm going to fight this battle with you, and we're going to get you justice. And Jerry, my little boy, made it, and it was just like the greatest feeling in the world.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet. I believe you also made out a DNR, a do not resuscitate order for Braxton. That must be a horrible thing for any parent to even have to contemplate.
It was, because, you know, my dad actually has this recorded. I didn't know this at the time, but he has it recorded on his phone, me saying goodbye to him, and the doctor saying, you know, Braxton's going to die in the next 2 hours because his brain is swelling and wow. His heart's just going to stop, and he made it. And, you know, they said, well, if he makes it, he's going to be a vegetable. He's going to be on a trach feeding tube. He's not a vegetable. He's not on a trach. He knows who his mom is. He knows who his baby or his bigger brother is. He does have a feeding tube. He has limited mobility, but we are doing hyperbaric oxygen treatments with the help of his grandpa, which is my father. And we're doing those about 4 to 5 times a week. They are $250 a session, and we are hoping to do this until age 2.5 to try to regenerate his brain and just give him the best outcome that he can have.
I understand. If you're just tuning in now, you're listening to Casual Fridays with Jerry Davidge, Karen Walker, and Dan Clark. We're talking with Susan Jones of Hebron, whose son Braxton, 15-month-old, is still recovering from all kinds of complications due to some kind of a violent act, according to police. And according to the doctor, I'm reading the police report right now from the doctor at Lurie saying that some kind of a violent force took place. It wasn't a medical, genetic, or bleeding disorder, nothing of the sort, some kind of violent force. And that's why, of course, Braxton's father, Curtis Jones, was arrested for that violent force. It's all alleged at this point, and there will be an upcoming trial, of course, and hearings and all that. But as we speak now, Braxton is still recovering. Braxton knows nothing about his dad or anything else that happened, to be honest, and he may not know anything in the future, but he's just trying to get by. On a daily basis, how is Braxton doing in general? Is he somewhat normal or not at all?
Well, in general, you know, I've lost my job as a nurse because I am Braxton's full-time nurse. He needs around-the-clock care. He's on 3 seizure medications. He is stiff. He has cerebral palsy. He is legally blind. We do not know what his vision is. Like I said, he's got a feeding tube. He cannot roll over. He cannot sit up.
Yeah, when I met Braxton earlier this week, he did kind of stare off in the distance a lot. I couldn't tell if he actually saw an image or saw me there. I mean, he definitely felt you because when I came to the house, he was just wailing for whatever reason. Then you settled him down in pretty quick order, actually. So he's obviously understands how to be loved, mm-hmm. You know, how to be cuddled and nurtured.
He can laugh and smile. And
yeah, he is beautiful. I saw the video that Jerry took. The treatments that you take him to, what were they called again, correctly?
So they're called hyperbaric oxygen treatments, and we go in a chamber for an hour at a time.
Mm-hmm.
We have to drive to Chicago. It's 60 miles each way.
Mm-hmm. Does he go in by himself, or do you?
No, I go in with him.
Really? And what is that like? What is that? How long are you in this chamber?
We're in there for an hour, and mm-hmm. It's like flying an airplane. You know, your ears pop. It takes about 5 minutes to get to the 100% oxygen that it delivers.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's claustrophobic, you know, it's not a good thing, but
sure.
I do it for Braxton.
Absolutely.
He likes it. He's able to move his limbs better in the chamber, and we're seeing improvements.
Oh, that's
slow improvements, but they are improvements.
And was that treatment recommended by the physicians at Lurie Children's?
No. You know, Braxton is so fortunate. He was actually able to go to the top rehab facility in the nation, which is Rehab Institute of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And they contribute that to his miraculous recovery, as I would say. And this hyperbaric oxygen treatment is something newer for traumatic brain injuries. There's not enough evidence that it works, but when you're young like Braxton and your brain is still growing, it's able to deliver oxygen to the damaged areas.
So how is he doing right now at Lori's? How's he doing?
He's not happy. They are putting the feeding tube back in because it closed up immediately. So poor little guy, he hasn't been able to eat or get his morning medications yet.
Susan, I believe you also have a GoFundMe page for some of these medical expenses. Is that correct?
I do. Me and my father, we've already had to borrow $40,000 just for out-of-pocket expenses like traveling fees, medications. And yeah, there is the GoFundMe, and we are planning a benefit at Pepe's in Valparaiso. We're hoping June 17th, not for sure, but we will be looking for people to volunteer with the benefit. And, you know, if any businesses want to donate for the raffle, that would be amazing.
And also, if you want more information on this case, possibly both sides of the case, I'm writing a column that should run soon in the Post Tribune and also post on my Chicago Tribune webpage soon. And also, I took a few videos of Susan interacting with Braxton, and you could watch the video of Braxton, how he really is on a daily basis, and kind of listen to her, Susan, in her own words beyond this. You can see it also. It's something to see the baby in person versus newspaper reports or even on a radio show. So feel free to check that out on my Facebook page or my Chicago Tribune webpage. Susan, what does Braxton's future look like? What's the prognosis from doctors or from yourself? What are you hoping for, best and worst case scenarios?
Well, you know, it is right now, we don't think Braxton's ever going to talk. You know, he's probably never going to walk, but they're hoping with these treatments that he will be able to say some words. We're hoping to get him off the feeding tube in like a year or so. And he might be able to walk with, you know, like a device or something.
That's a mother's hope talking right there. And
right.
I totally understand that, Susan. Well, tell you what, we will check in, of course, with you and Braxton's development as it goes along with updates. We want to thank you for being a part of Casual for, especially calling in from an emergency room at Lurie's Children's Hospital.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. And also, my column should run soon, and I hope it can help the cause. And I hope people can step up and maybe help out Braxton a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Add us on Facebook. He has a page, Justice for Braxton and Braxton Strong.
Sounds good. Susan Jones, thank you so much.
Good luck.
All right, thanks. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Sad case all around.
It really is.
If anyone has the opportunity to see the video that Jerry took, it is very touching, especially the way that she's holding him and she just like will gently like pat his little chest and he kind of has a little smile on his face the way she interacts with him. It's very touching.
Yeah, and you can see his head's kind of misshapen
for obvious
reasons. So regardless of what you believe happened or what you think may have happened with the father and the son and everything, it doesn't matter. Braxton's a mess right now.
Right. Exactly.
That's the bottom line. Right. So that's why I wanted to talk with Susan. That's why I wanted to write about her and have her on our show, because that's the thrust here. The cops can deal with that. The courts can deal with justice, and they will, of course. Mm-hmm. There's a court hearing coming up. I think it's in June will be the next court hearing for Curtis Jones, who's out on bond, by the way. So who knows what his life is going on right now. He told police that he thinks it was an accidental head trauma. That's what it was in the probable cause affidavit, and that maybe there's some pre-existing conditions for all these problems. That was Curtis Jones, reasoning summary that he told cops back in the day. We shall see. Either way, you're listening to Casual Fridays. Let's take a short break here, guys. When we come back, we will talk with Morgan Snyder, a representative from Visit Indy, the tourism agency from Indianapolis, about some getaway destinations that Karen and I are going to be taking soon, and you could take soon also. We're also going to play a voicemail for you that has to do with the younger generations and older generations. And also, if you happen to ever get dementia or Alzheimer's, what do you think your last memory might be? What trait would you cling to? We're going to tell you about a woman who clung to one of her traits, and it kind of surprised me. All that and more. Come back.
Every Friday evening, right here on the set of Lakeshore Focus, I will be interviewing some of the region's most interesting people. Join us for an in-depth look at Northwest Indiana issues every Friday night at 7:30 on Lakeshore Public Television.
Did you know you can name Lakeshore Public Radio as a beneficiary in your insurance policy or IRA? You may receive additional financial benefits as well. For more information on creating this kind of legacy gift, talk with your financial advisor or call Wendy Burbridge at Lakeshore Public Radio, 219-756-5656. Thank you.
Everyone has a voice, but some voices aren't heard. Let's start the conversation. Politics, education, culture, Counterpoint. We'll bring you voices from all over the region on Counterpoint with Gerard McClendon.
Friday night at 8 on Lakeshore Public Television.
Listen, this is Billy Gardell from Mike and Molly, and if you have any sense in your head, you'll listen to Jerry Davich and Karen Walker on Casual Fridays.
Oh, man.
Thank you so much.
If you have any sense in your head, Karen.
I know. I have some sense in my head. Not a lot, though. Welcome back to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Dan. Our show in the Lakeshore is reported by Kenwest, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage for matters most.
And if you miss any part of today's show, and that, I would say, kind of riveting interview with Susan Jones, it's sad. Yeah. However you think about the case, it's sad.
Exactly. It's very tragic.
It'll be re-aired 7 o'clock tonight, so you didn't miss a thing. And also posted, of course, on lakeshorepublicradio.org soon, and you can check it out at your convenience. 3 in the morning if you want. You can listen to it then. We don't care.
That's when I listen.
Yeah, right. We appreciate you tuning in either way. We're going to be talking with a representative soon from Indy. It's called Visit Indy Tourism. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I want to mention my column today in the Post Tribune is about three Purdue Northwest students who did an audit for the Griffith Police Department. And
It was for a project.
It was for
a project. For a grade.
I told Karen about this column that I was writing a few days ago, and she goes, oh, that sounds really kind of technical and boring. And I go,
I'd never use the word boring. Well, I did say technical.
I get it. But, you know, what they did an audit of Griffith Police Department, and Griffith allowed that. And I thought that was pretty impressive for a police department. Go, yeah, come in and look around, talk to the officers, see if you find any holes, constructive criticism.
Sure.
And Greg Mance is the police chief, and he said, no, we were happy to have him on. We know we're not a perfect organization or agency or force. And we're happy to do it. And the three students had a 500-page report almost to give suggestions, constructive criticism.
Yeah.
And I kind of weaved in some local police matters, police issues and incidents taking place in the region. One in Portage recently. A Portage cop shot and killed someone in Portage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Michigan City shot somebody outside a hospital. So there's always police and public relations are issues in our country these days, especially, I think, more than ever, to be honest.
Yes.
And public relations with cops is an issue. So I thought we'd write about that. And these three students kind of tapped into that. So I liked it. So if you want to check it out, you can read it in today's Post Tribune. Page 2. That's kind of my page, I think, these days.
And isn't their report... like other departments, it was near the end of your column. I mean, it wasn't just going to be turned into their instructor. I mean, this report that they did is going to carry on to other.
It did, and they gave presentations at different conferences too.
Yes, that's it.
And they're looking to do other. So if other police agencies, police departments want to get in touch with that, I think it'd be
that's
going to
be
a
good for their future. Put that on the resume.
Nice resume.
Kidding,
yeah.
Right?
Wow.
Exactly. So I wrote about that. You could check it out on my Facebook page, my Tribune page, whatever. It's in today's paper also. Something else I want to make mention of. There's a news clipping that really caught my attention. Maybe you guys have heard of it. Maybe you didn't. But it's like it's just the randomness of life that we talk a lot about on Casual Fridays. This Wheaton College student who was killed last Saturday.
Yeah.
You heard about,
about that.
He was accidentally hit by a hammer during a hammer throw event at a track and field competition. He's 19 years old. He's a freshman. He was volunteering that day outside a track and field competition when he was struck about 4:15. And he just transferred to the school in January. He just got hit in the head wayward hammer throw.
In the wrong place at the wrong
time. Wrong place and time. Now, if you're a believer, which we've talked about and I know I've written about it, and if you believe in God, well, it's God's will. God called him up to heaven. God, whatever.
I believe his dad was a pastor.
Yeah.
Too.
I mean, but it's these things in life that make me go, oh, man.
Yeah. I know.
Random moments.
You really, you can't use the word random if you believe in God, though. That's the conundrum. You have to say, well, God wanted him at this exact time, and he threw a hammer at his head to bring him up to heaven.
For people who don't know, although Wheaton College is a very Christian college, I actually grew up in Wheaton, and I know the campus, a beautiful campus, and it's, you know, a very calm place. There's not a lot of people are very religious there. And
he was studying to be a pastor.
Yeah.
Was he really?
Yeah, Ethan was, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's just a tragedy all the way around, but then I chalk it up to just some kind of, is it random? Well, I guess it is random.
Yeah.
But if you're studying to be a pastor and you're at this Wheaton Christian College and...
But wouldn't...
Wow.
I don't know.
Makes you think,
doesn't
it?
Then you think, like, wouldn't God want you to grow up and spread his word and his gospel?
Well, I don't know.
Not to be taken off this planet by a hammer?
I know.
A wayward hammer?
Yeah, you try to put purpose and explanations and into things that are happening, and it's tough
really
to do that.
Hard. Yeah.
So I wanted to make a mention of that it's out there, and it's one of those things that I grapple with as a person,
sure.
and also as a columnist.
You never know what's going to happen.
Wrong time, wrong place.
Exactly.
You listen to Casual Fridays, folks. We appreciate you tuning in as usual. Karen and I are going down to Indianapolis, our favorite big city, next weekend for the Indy Mini Half Marathon that we've run.
This will be our sixth time.
Good God.
Wow.
There you go.
It's like we're runners, but really not.
I got to count. Hold on. No, maybe not that. Maybe our fifth time. Maybe our fifth.
Well, either way. We're going down again. We love going down. We go down for the weekend. We walk around.
We dine.
Walk with a limp all after the half marathon because
it's
literally
a limp with a
limp.
Swagger.
Yeah, it's a limp swagger. We do that. So we invited Morgan Snyder, who's from Visit Indy, the tourism agency. Morgan, welcome back to Casual Fridays.
Thank you so much. Well, we're excited to have you guys back in the Circle City with the limp swagger. I like it.
The limp swagger. So the night before, this is for the last 20 years, I've been in journalism, and they have contests, these journalism contests, and it's an award that journalists could win and not win. And I've won a few awards through the years, but I've never attended a banquet, an awards banquet. But I am this coming Friday because we're going to happen to be in Indy the night of the banquet. It's at some fancy restaurant. I forgot the name of it.
Maybe Morgan knows. You know,
I don't have it with me.
Oh, Morgan,
but either way, so I felt compelled to not only do everything in Indy, but we're going to pop in at this awards banquet also. A first time for my career. We're going to do that. And then the next morning, Saturday morning, we're going to get up at a crazy ungodly hour. We're going to run an ungodly amount of miles.
I know, right?
But it's not an ungodly city because everybody there, the only reason that I can get through this half marathon, Morgan and Karen knows, is from the people.
Right.
It's the people of Indianapolis. They come out with signs and cheers and they call your name and they tell you to keep going even when you're tired. Don't walk now, we're watching.
And
all this stuff. And Morgan, it is so impressive. This big city has a small feel to it, small town feel to it. So that's why we wanted to have you on here to tell our listeners more about Indianapolis and what's going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we love it. It's the month of May around here, so anytime it turns to May on the calendar, everyone is out and about and cheering everyone on. So it is the month of the year, so a great time to come to Indianapolis.
And when does the Indy 500 race?
So that is Memorial Weekend.
That's
every
coming up. Yeah, so
every year.
May is a big month for, absolutely. So you said something to Jerry about there's also a parade going on this weekend, or no, is it the coming
it's
up?
It's Memorial Weekend, yeah. So every year we have the 500 Festival Parade. That's the Saturday before race day, Indy 500 race day. So.
Okay.
You have the big parade that'll be downtown Saturday morning, so everyone lines the streets and comes and cheers on the parade. This year we have a Holocaust survivor that is our grand marshal.
No kidding.
And ex-ambassadors, which many people know their song. They have a big song out, Renegades. They'll be performing and opening up. So it's a fun parade to come and watch. And then that night, everyone heads over to the track because Keith Urban will be playing there for Legends Day. So Saturday's a big party day right before the big race day on Sunday.
And how many fans or guests or visitors does it attract that weekend? Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, we're about 300,000. And if you remember, last year was the 100th running of the Indy 500, and they sold out. This is the world's largest single-day sporting event, and they sold out with the 100th running of the Indy 500. So we're celebrating 101st running this year.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets are looking incredible. So I will say, if you are looking to come into the city for Memorial Weekend, get your tickets ASAP because the prices for grandstand seats go up on May 1st. So you want to get in before the price hikes.
And we always think of the Indy 500 race when Karen and I are running the track.
Yes,
because
we do.
That's all part of the half marathon run, and it is the longest darn track.
Do you run,
it seems like in
do
the
you
world.
Run around the track?
Yeah, we run on the track.
Oh,
they
run on the track, which is so cool because you cross the Art of Bricks.
That's
2.5 miles that you've got.
Yes.
On the track.
It is.
And people bend down
people
and kiss.
Actually bow down and kiss
the
bricks.
They will stop running, get a photo op to kiss the bricks during the race. Yeah.
Wow.
I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw that.
I can't even bend over when I'm running.
I was going to say, you guys, kudos to you, because if I did that, I would not be getting back
exactly.
No kidding.
So it has all this prestige and memories and history, and people know that when you first run into this place, people are cheering.
Oh my gosh!
Because it's like you're in a car going 100 miles an hour, but you're only going 3 miles an hour or whatever I do as a jog.
So when you're on the track, when you're running on the track this next weekend, just think about what that facility looks like with 300,000 people in it. You've got 33 drivers on the track racing at 225 miles per hour. It's just such an unbelievable bucket list feeling.
It is a bucket list feeling. And when you said how many people come for Memorial Day weekend, how many fans or guests or visitors or runners will be there next weekend for the Indy Mini? You have any ideas?
We're about 30,000 for that weekend. It ranks up in there as one of the nation's largest half marathons. In fact, it's like the seventh largest running event in the country. So it's a big deal.
You know, Indianapolis is always kind of deceiving, I always thought, because it seems like it's a capital and it's Indiana, but it's also kind of a small town feeling, but it's a big city. So you get a lot of big city amenities, but small town feeling. I love that juxtaposition. Yeah. That's what we enjoy most about. We come down there, because when I'm in Chicago, I got my Chicago face on. I got my Chicago eyeballs looking through people.
Don't bug me. Get out of my way.
You know, we were just there last weekend, and you got, you know, but when I'm in India, I have a different feeling.
Yeah,
I really
walk
do.
A little slower.
Yeah,
a little happier.
A little more open. I don't feel as, you know, it's safer.
Bothered.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Bothered.
Yeah.
I like that. Dan lives in Chicago, so yeah, bothered. That's a good word. I don't feel bothered. So,
but yeah, you're spot on, and truly one of the reasons why I love living here and working here and playing here. It's just, it is an incredible city for that exact purpose.
So it's 2.5 hours. It's one of the most boring 2.5 hour drives you'll take from getting from this region to India, because I've taken it so many times. But once you're there, it's such a nice reward. How about food and restaurants? I know India's gotten some accolades lately. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, we have been deemed America's most underrated food city. So if you have not been to Indy for food lately, you have got to come and check it out. Milktooth is the restaurant that's getting all of the accolades and all the rage. It's our brunch spot in Fletcher Place neighborhood.
Heard of that?
So
no,
really
you
close
go, though. Brunch is the...
What?
I love brunch.
It's the best.
Yeah,
what is? What's the name of the place?
Milktooth.
Milktooth.
You guys should go and report back.
Yeah, that'll be part of our duties.
Back in 2015, we ran, and it was... everything, the swagger. And then I believe it was, what was the Capital restaurant?
Capital Grill. That
Capital
place
Grill.
Is so good.
It was Capital. It was amazing. We still talk about that. It was 2 years ago.
Why was it so amazing?
Because we got our meal comped.
Why did we get it comped?
Okay, so we ran.
It was the limp swagger, right?
Yeah, it was
the
No.
Well, it was a little early, so we ate outside. We love eating outside, so we ate outside. And we didn't mind. There was... because we were resting and it was great. But the wait was a little long. The service was a little slow, but not that bad. But the people that worked there were so apologetic that they made us wait, that they comped their meal. And we still have the receipt.
That's huge, because that's not a cheap place.
No, it isn't. So that was, we always think of that. So
we always go back and tell them to take their time.
Yeah, take your time. But we'll have to try Milktooth. That sounds really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Fletcher Place neighborhood, Fountain Square neighborhood, tons of new great restaurants, or head over to Mass Ave. And these are neighborhoods that aren't right in the downtown core, so there's going to be a lot of people in for race weekend.
Yes.
So kind of head to those neighborhoods where you might be able to get a table.
Wait,
Mass, a little quicker.
Mass Ave is cool talk for Massachusetts Avenue?
Yes, that's
Whoa,
cool talk.
Whoa, look at you,
good
Morgan.
Good job.
Because we passed Mass Ave. When we were there last month for...
Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So jealous of that. Mass Ave, so Massachusetts Avenue, so you're like the locals, speak the locals.
Right.
Tons of great restaurants on there. The Livery just opened up recently. They have a great rooftop bar for post-race, guys. Mm-hmm. There's Black Market, Union 50, The Eagle, great stops all along. It's a five-block stretch, so get out and walk all five blocks.
Ooh.
Pop in and out of some bars and restaurants there. Great boutique shopping. So that's another one of our great cultural districts.
You know,
very
we always cool. like the canal walk also.
Yes.
That's what it's a canal limp for us, but we always do the canal limp on that Saturday. We enjoy that a lot because it's very picturesque. It's
so cool.
It's peaceful.
It's peaceful. And
it's
they also
beautiful.
Have, like, don't they have paddle boats there too? We did that 1 year, right?
Yeah.
Paddle boats after a marathon. Now that's also very impressive.
Yeah, well, it was I guess if
we
you
went
think
in
about
circles,
it,
no big
we
deal. Went,
we got stuck a few times, but it was fine. But that's one of the amenities there. So all those neat boutiques and restaurants, that's around Massachusetts Avenue.
Yes.
Mass Ave,
yes.
Karen.
Sorry. Mass Ave, guys. Yes. Mass Ave.
Morgan, what do you think? Northwest Indiana residents up here, our listeners, my readers, maybe don't know about Indianapolis that they should know before we get you off the line. Any secrets you could pass along that we should know?
Well, I mean, it does go back to food, just because, as you mentioned, we have been getting accolades after accolades for our food scene here, and I think people still have... it's undiscovered, and finally the word is getting out that there's incredible restaurants, incredible food, incredible chefs doing great things in our restaurants, and at really affordable prices. So come in and just... take in all of our indie restaurants. And the other thing I will say, you know, we are a big city, but park your car. It's a very walkable city. So
it
once
is.
The car is parked, get out and walk around Indy because you're within walking distance of about 300 restaurants, attractions, nightlife, the cultural districts that I mentioned, and a big bike-friendly city. That's what I tell everyone. My favorite way to see Indianapolis is on the bike on the cultural trail, which is an 8-mile trail in downtown Indianapolis that connects our cultural districts.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
We will be there next weekend, Morgan Snyder. Thank you so much for your hospitality, and also thanks for being on our show today.
Absolutely. Good luck, guys.
All right, take care. Fun little place, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah.
So if you're a listener wondering if you should go to Indianapolis or not, you really should take the trek and do it.
It's worth it.
Yeah. It's a fun place. I've been there a couple of times, and I always have a blast. I've actually gone to the Indy 500 once.
You did? I can't imagine seeing you.
Many years ago. Many years ago.
I've never been.
It's fun.
No, neither have
I. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is retiring, I heard. Yeah.
Oh, man.
NASCAR.
NASCAR.
It's a big deal. He's the guy there.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. Okay. This is why I am the Cliff Clavin of Casual Fridays. But you know what Milktooth is?
No.
Milktooth was an old term for baby teeth.
Get really?
Out.
There you go.
Wow. That's kind of.
Yeah.
That's an interesting
kind of
name. You'll have to go and tell us why it's called
Milktooth
that.
And tell how the food is. Mm-hmm. We'll do that in a future show. We'll get back with you.
One more. Are you guys spending the night or are you just doing a date?
Two nights.
Actually. Oh,
two
nights.
We're actually taking Sarah, my daughter.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
She's not going to run with us, obviously.
I was going to say, is she going?
No,
she's not going to do the marathon.
She'll sleep through the whole thing.
She'll sleep through the whole thing.
That's. I would do the same thing
as any teenager would do, probably.
And Dan semi,
Clark.
Yeah, and me.
Yeah, that's right.
Older than a teenager, but yeah, I'm not running.
You're listening to Casual Fridays, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Tell you what, we're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we're going to ask you about what your last memory might be if you happen to get stricken. I hope you don't, of course, with dementia or Alzheimer's. Certain traits stick with people, and I was going to tell you a little story about a woman whose last trait stuck with her. Also, we have a voicemail to play from one of our listeners, and we want to mention a bluegrass event you can attend for free this Sunday. All that and more. Stick around.
Every Friday evening, right here on the set of Lakeshore Focus, I will be interviewing some of the region's most interesting people. Join us for an in-depth look at Northwest Indiana issues every Friday night at 7:30 on Lakeshore Public Television.
Did you know you can name Lakeshore Public Radio as a beneficiary in your insurance policy or IRA? You may receive additional financial benefits as well. For more information on creating this kind of legacy gift, talk with your financial advisor or call Wendy Burbridge at Lakeshore Public Radio, 219-756-5656. Thank you.
Everyone has a voice, but some voices aren't heard. Let's start the conversation. Politics, education, culture. Counterpoint. We'll bring you voices from all over the region on Counterpoint with Gerard McClendon.
Friday night at 8 on Lakeshore Public Television.
Hey, this is Bob Saget here. I know it's exciting. And you are listening to Casual Fridays with Jerry and the beautiful Karen. And here's their home numbers.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
That was Bob Saget,
wasn't it? Welcome to Casual Fridays, Jerry, Karen, and Dan. Our show and the Lakeshore are supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage for what matters most.
If you miss any part of today's show, it's re-air at 7 o'clock tonight and posted online, lakeshorepublicradio.org, soon, probably this afternoon. You could tune in and listen to it. Yeah, Bob Saget treated us very good, didn't he?
He really did.
Sometimes we hear these, it's called a promo, Dan? What's it called?
Station ID.
Station ID for our show. We always forget we've had some pretty big names on, and everybody's treated us so
Everyone
good.
Has been so nice.
I mean, Bobby invited us to his own show.
Yeah, we got to meet him backstage.
That's crazy, isn't it? You kind of think of that stuff. And he was even good. He was a little distracted then. He had a girlfriend. And
a much younger girlfriend.
Yeah, and he was totally distracted. We still took photos and stuff.
Yeah, shook his hand and
nice
stuff like that.
So welcome
nice.
Back to Casual Fridays, folks. So we play voicemails once in a while on the show. I've been getting voicemails, of course, for 20 years, I guess. Since I've been writing. Some of them are heated, some are passionate, some are just ridiculous. Some are just some church lady who calls
really
me
random.
And just rant and rants at me. There's a gentleman named Major Smith. I believe he lives in Gary or Maryville. And he calls with column ideas occasionally. And he has an idea for us to talk about on the show and also for column. We'll play a snippet of it here.
My name is Mike Smith. Just calling you with a personal observation. Over the years, and I'm 78 pretty soon, I've noticed that the latter generations have a hard time with interpersonal communications. In other words, basically voice, and in particular, a letter or even just a column. I was calling the government center for the county was talking to one of the people there. It's a very simple thing, but the individual had a hard time following the narrative, who, what, when, where, how, and why. And I often see how the, say, the 35 on back have a hard time with interpersonal, person-to-person communication, whether it be on the telephone, etc.
I think that's enough of the voicemail. I mean, he went on for 3 minutes talking about that, and I get it. It's understandable. Mm-hmm. And I like his cadence a lot. I wish I had that voice. It's a voice either for radio or a voice of God. It's take your pick, but either way, I like that deepness of it.
It's almost like a Morgan Freeman, but not quite as deep.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Very cadency
so
like that.
Major Smith does call in occasionally. I mean, that's a good idea because he's right in many ways. We hate to sound we're older now. Dan, of course, is younger. You're fine with face-to-face communications. Mm-hmm. But we know there's a gap there between talking with people of a kind of a younger generation. They're used to texting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're used to devices. They're used to social media. They're used to anonymous or online.
Sure.
So you see them face-to-face and their eyes dart away. They can't keep track of the narrative of a conversation like Major Smith is saying.
I have never been that into texting. I have friends that really can only have, like, if you call them on the phone, they just will not answer, and then they will text you. And I hate that because I can't sit there, and I'm not a fast texter.
You're
so
an old soul.
I am, yeah. I can't
do that. You're
a
slow texter and an old soul. But you're right, but a lot of people, of course, these days in the younger generations, we say younger generations, that's also me. I am huge into texting.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
I would prefer texting versus calling because it saves me time. That's the reason I like doing it. But, of course, I could also hold a conversation face-to-face if I need to, of course, for my job and personally. But Major Smith has a point, don't you think?
I think he does.
Really
people
do.
Have a problem, and I do want to write about this possibly for next week because I have been in conversations, and there's like nobody home.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like. And then after I leave the interview and I will text them or email some questions, boom, boom, they come to life.
Come back.
Right.
Hmm.
So I think it's interesting, don't you?
Yeah, it's sometimes if you talk to, I don't know, I don't want to group everyone, but a younger person, they'll have their phone in their hand and you're talking to them and they'll be talking to you, but then all of a sudden their phone will go off and all of a sudden this eye-to-eye contact goes directly to their phone and they'll be like, hold on. And then they're going to text. Then they look at you, what were you talking about before?
Yeah.
And then it'll go back to texting and... So,
it's
yeah.
a squirrel with a shiny object.
It is. Okay.
Sure.
It is.
So,
or
yeah.
I'll at work, I'll come in. And this isn't just kids. This is
I think adults do that, too. Yeah. I've seen many people that are, my age or older, too, that'll just be...
Just tune out.
Tune out right away.
A patient will be sitting in the chair. I'll come in, introduce myself, and they're playing Candy Crush, or they're reading their phone, or they're texting, and I'll introduce myself. I get crickets. I say hello much louder. Oh,
hello.
Hi. Oh, hi. I'm like... Okay, I know where this clinic
just the facts,
is
man.
Open your mouth. Very quiet.
Open your mouth and shut up at the same time.
Yeah,
if you could do that.
It's true. It's a lost art.
So a lot of the voicemails I get from older readers, and a lot of our readers, of course, especially the print version, are older readers. But this guy has a point.
Yeah, he has a very valid point.
It's not just some old guy grumping about the younger generations.
They have the best observations. The elderly generation.
And they will tell it like it is, won't they?
They will. Yeah.
They will tell it like it is.
Sometimes they need a filter. I don't know.
That's why I can't play some voicemails on our show, just for that very reason. I can't risk it.
You can put a little filter on what you say, and that can go for anybody, not just somebody who survived the greatest generation called, or millennials or whatever.
Especially these days.
Put a filter on that mouth. It helps.
Especially on social media, but that doesn't happen these days. That's another conversation.
That's a whole other ball of wax.
Well, we appreciate you tuning in though on this beautiful, kind of a crisp Friday anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a couple things I also want to mention. I promise about this last memory thing. I'll talk about that. But before then, the Bears are in the NFL draft is taking place over the weekend. Started last night through today, through tomorrow in Philadelphia. It's a big deal. Karen never really understood how big of a deal it is for NFL fans or football fans because it's like she says, like Vegas.
It's like Vegas. It's like a Vegas show.
It's glitzed up. It's glitzed up.
And the music and the sights and the sounds and the lights. And I mean, I'm just surprised there weren't chorus girls come out and doing a number.
There might be.
I mean?
If you're not there, they might be doing that too. So it is a big deal.
It
drags out for 3 days.
We saw that movie, Draft Day, with Kevin Costner. The movie, there wasn't much of a plot to it, but it really goes into how the draft works. And if you do get a chance to ever see it on Netflix or something, make sure you watch it with someone who does know football. Like, you and I watched it together, so you're like, yeah, they do this, and then they have to trade, and then they don't get the trade.
And you got to trade up, you got to trade down.
So it does give you behind the scenes of how really intricate and complicated and unnecessary. Unnecessary. It all can be.
And sometimes in the past, I even talk through sports metaphors, which a lot of guys would get, but Karen didn't get it at first.
Like, I know.
Because people would come up to me and they'd say, oh, you're with Karen and Karen Walker and she's so pretty and stuff. And they go, oh, you really outkicked your coverage. And Karen goes, what the heck
does that
outkicked
mean?
Your coverage
what?
Mean?
So what?
It's a football term, you know. And I always say that, yeah, well, Karen dropped down to me. It's another football term on draft day.
What does that mean?
Well, if a
don't worry, Karen. I don't know what they mean either.
If a good player doesn't get drafted high and he kind of drops down to other teams lower, it's a surprise. So you kind of drop down to me. I got lucky.
Oh,
I got this blue chip woman that fell in my lap, so to speak. And I had like the number 304th pick of her life. So that kind of thing. It's a joke. So the Bears, they had a number 3 pick. Okay, that means number 3 overall. They get to pick whoever they
that's
want
good.
In college football.
That's very good.
That's excellent. Of course, that means they had a horrible season last
course,
year, too.
Of course.
But they got it. So who are they going to draft? They're going to go with defense because they have defensive needs on the line and a possible safety who they need. Keep up with me here.
Okay.
Or if they want to make a real statement, they can probably go for one of the quarterbacks. There's 3 or 4, you know, blue chip quarterbacks they could draft at number 3 and show that we really mean business. Jay Cutler's out. We're bringing in a young guy.
Uh-huh.
He'll be the new stud.
Good arm.
Until Mike Glennon, who's the free agent guy they brought in from Tampa Bay, who's going to be like a Band-Aid for this year.
Okay.
We're going to draft a quarterback. So the Bears did draft a quarterback, but there's a big but here.
Okay.
There was like 3 quarterbacks they could have drafted. I wanted a guy named Watson from Clemson, who I think has more charisma, more of leadership abilities.
Watson from Clemson.
But they went with somebody. They went with a North Carolina quarterback called Mitch Trubisky.
Trubisky.
Which is a great Bears name.
Polish.
And a lot of fans are going to like their off the bat. It's like a Grabowski, Trubisky kind of thing.
They're my brother wrote a post on Facebook about they call him the Biscuit.
Yeah, that's a nickname I've heard also for Trubisky. So,
they
didn't draft him at number 3 with their pick. They drafted up. They traded away their 3rd-round pick and another 3rd-round pick and a 4th-round pick and another pick from next year. They drafted all the. They gave all these picks away to get the number to go up one slot to the number 2 pick to get this Trubisky guy. So they must have thought that somebody's going to take him with the number 2. So they traded away the house, which all Bears fans I think are shaking their heads, going, "What are you doing?" First off, you didn't need a quarterback, but if you did, fine. But don't trade up and don't waste all your draft picks. So it's a big controversy. It's a big issue. If you're a Bears fan especially, nobody's really happy that they wasted all
their
picks.
So this is the only new player they got?
No, they're going to get other picks for the other rounds. But they trade away some high-round draft picks for this guy, and most people think they didn't need to do it.
Yeah.
But they overreacted. Dan, did you have to report the news on this at all? Or?
No. I don't really do sports news, but...
This is
I can just
news,
see Tom Maloney running down the hallway right
I
now. They're bursting
it's like,
in.
What the heck? You didn't report
okay,
on that.
Scoot over here. Yeah, now this is why.
Yeah. From what I heard though, I think people have the sense of that this guy hasn't proved himself yet, and he's only played 13 games or something
as a starting
quarterback. And
this is our sports analyst for Casual Fridays, Dan Clark.
So my take on it is, yeah, it seems a little risky, and they're going to have to put him. He's going to have to do a lot of work to be able to get himself to a level where he can actually play in the NFL. Yeah,
the word is they're going to groom him this year under Mike Glennon. So they're going to groom this guy. So he's probably not going to start unless there's an injury or unless Mike Glennon has a horrible beginning of a season or something.
And he is so I can get this straight, he's an older, he's been playing for a while, and he's an older quarterback who's more, he's not necessarily in his prime, but he knows what he's doing.
Exactly.
He's been doing it for a while.
That's Mike Glennon. Yeah. And I have a call into the Bears PR to try to interview Mike Glennon and this new guy eventually down the road. More like a personality profile, more than the football X's knows. All the sports guys will talk about that.
Yeah.
I want to see what makes him tick in a way. So if we do, we'll talk about it on Casual Fridays. We had Matt Forte on. He was kind enough to be on our show,
for instance, and
some other Bears in the past I've talked to. So that'll be the future. That's enough of the draft talk, enough sports talk on Casual Fridays, because Karen and Dan look at me a big eyes. Like, what are you talking about?
I thought at first I was going to be like one of the millennials that our caller was talking about, the voicemail guy.
Oh, yeah.
My eyes roll back into my head.
Yeah, look at your phone while I'm talking to you.
So they got the first – what football team got the first round draft pick? What team got that guy?
Oh, I forgot. Was it Cleveland?
So the 49ers, right?
I think, yeah. They traded with 49. I think Cleveland was the first pick. But either way, all the drafts went through. Today, rounds 2 and 3 take place tonight.
Uh-huh.
It's on ESPN.
Does
and rounds 4 and 7 take place on Saturday.
4 and 7?
Yeah, they have more rounds, yeah.
So, I mean, as the draft picks dwindle. You know, now you're getting into the higher numbers, not just number one anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So does the fanfare kind of die down? Is it there, like, nobody left in that auditorium?
It's not as rabid as it was last night. People are cheering and for their team and stuff. But it's still, people are paying attention big time and paying attention every round.
So
and
there's still these college, I mean, these are just graduated college kids, basically.
Yeah, right.
And they are sitting there sweating it out.
They
like,
are.
What team is going to pick me?
And some of these kids won't get picked at all. And they'll be an undrafted, like a walk-on. And they'll still come to NFL teams as an undrafted, you know, non-pick, but they'll hope to get lucky.
Mm-hmm. So
and some people get drafted
teams?
In later rounds and strike it rich. I forgot what round Brady was in.
Yeah, wasn't he Tom like Brady? In the later
But he was very lower round, and look at him. He's going to be the best quarterback of all time, possibly, Hall of Fame, all that kind of stuff. So you never know. These sleeper picks do drop down to certain teams, and sometimes teams get lucky.
If I was good at sports and to be able to be in a draft like that and just get called, like, number one pick and just instantly know I'm very rich.
Boom, that's it.
Yeah, it's I'd be the, very
they
happy
They scratched
about
off a lottery
that.
Ticket last night, and they are, as we speak, they're going to be very rich, of course.
Mm. Right.
But then it could be a fleeting career. Sometimes it lasts only two, 3 years, sometimes five or six.
Yeah, that is
less than
the,
that. You get injured, you're gone.
Yeah. The monster of
it's
that.
It's all roll the dice. So that's enough draft pick talk. But that's taking place through the weekend, and it's a big deal to fans.
Reminds me of this movie. Can I just go on a tangent very, very quick?
That's what we do.
Okay, back, I think, in the 90s, there was a movie called Everybody's All-American with Jessica Lange and Randy Quaid. It was about these two college sweethearts, and they had everything at their feet. And then Dennis Quaid played this big college football star, and everybody loved him. He was a first-round draft pick. Blah, blah, blah. Everybody loved him. He was great. He was great. He first-round draft pick. He plays for this pro football team. First day in on playing for the pro football, he gets hit as hard as he could. He'd never been, like, his bell was rung so bad, and he just lays there, and the opposite member of the football team looks at him and says, "Hey, welcome to the pros." And then he leaves him on the field.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You remember that scene?
I do. Wow. I do, because he was a god in college.
Is that what Trubetsky's going to be then?
Probably.
Could
like,
be.
He was this god in college, and he gets to the pros. And it's
a whole
like,
different
it's
game.
A whole different
game. And we find that out. That's why all this draft pick stuff and all this talk and all this chatter and all this analyst, as I call it, paralysis through analysis.
Yeah, they make that up.
I don't know.
That was really good.
I don't know, but it happens every year, and I've been doing this for 30, 40 years. Mm-hmm. So I've heard all this stuff, and all that matters is when they get on the field, when game time, when the games matter.
Yeah,
preseason
doesn't
even matter. Exhibitions don't matter to me. All this training and drills and training camp, and none of this matters. Talk, none of it matters.
Only fans want to see a winning team.
Of
they
course
do.
They do, and
they
so do.
Do
I. So once they get on the field, and I'll see if they can hold up. In the rigors of NFL season, that's all I care about. Everything else to me is just whatever.
Yeah. And we've been watching on, what is it, ESPN, We the Fans, that Bears documentary?
Section 250 of Soldier Field.
Section 250. Field.
Interesting show.
It is.
They show the backstories of all the lives of these fans.
That season ticket holders.
Yeah, exactly right. Mm-hmm. So if you're a fan, you're a fan.
Yeah, these people are fans. Their blood runs blue and gold.
Exactly.
Or blue and orange.
Yeah, blue and orange.
Sorry.
Enough of that. Listen to Casual Fridays. We've got a few minutes left on today's show. I want to make a mention that Karen and I will be at the Portage Public Library this coming Tuesday at 7 o'clock to do a PowerPoint presentation and answer some questions and answers about my new book, Crooked Politics in Northwest Indiana. And at these events, it's never about my book or my new book or anything else. People ask all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
they do. They'll ask me any question at all about the region or politics, national politics, my job, newspaper business, you name it, I've been asked about it. So if you want to attend, you feel free to show up. 7 o'clock, Portage Public Library. It's question answered. Always lasts less than an hour. I never drag it on. I hate hearing myself talk as it is in public. So I say, you guys talk. Ask me questions. I'll answer. And I brought a PowerPoint now to show some photos
it's really good
and stuff.
Pictures.
So there you go. You could show up if you'd like to. We'd be happy to talk with you also. Last Sunday, Karen and I were biking on the Erie Lackawanna Trail. I just like it has a rhythm.
Erie Lackawanna.
Erie Lackawanna Trail. And we happened to bypass, there's a shelter in Schererville at Burr Street and 73rd Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And there was these musicians out there just playing away some bluegrass music.
Yeah, and really good.
Foggy Mountain Breakdown. And
this one had a mandolin, a stand-up bass, a couple of banjos.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And they were playing loud and proud, and we pulled over, and I got a video of it. I got some photos. I'm writing about it. It actually ran online already.
Uh-huh.
It's on my Chicago Tribune webpage. I'll post it on Facebook soon. And I also got a video of them playing. It's just fun. How could you not like bluegrass music?
Every Sunday between, 2 and 4?
Yeah, 1 and 3, 2 and 4 for a few hours. They play like 20, 25 songs just for free. They call it a jam.
Yeah.
It's cool. A Sunday afternoon jam. Mm-hmm. The group is called Hoosier Pickers, mm-hmm. and it's just fun. So if you're out, whether you bike or not, yeah, you can even drive there.
Exactly.
Pull up, listen.
There's a parking lot very close.
Bring some food. They're fun. I talked to a guy named Terry Schaefer, who is the kind of the spokes guy mm-hmm. for it. And I mentioned that I enjoy listening to old Bill Monroe, who's the father of bluegrass.
Yeah.
And it turned out Bill is from this region. He lived in Whiting in East Chicago for a while.
No kidding.
He worked at the oil refinery, and that's before he got famous. Then he dug deep, as I called it. I think he drilled for his genius. He finally drilled deep for his genius.
Wow.
And then now he's he's like the father of bluegrass music. So that's it's fun neat. Stuff. And if you're around that area,
you'll be glad you did.
Be a fun Stop thing through. To kind of bike to and a nice reward.
Take a break. Yeah. It's worth it.
And the last thing I want to make a mention of is there was a column I read in the Chicago Tribune from a woman writing about her mom's dementia, and it whittled her down to her very core. She wrote, she lost memories of most things in life, what she was remembering, and she was like in her 80s. Mm-hmm. But the one thing she didn't forget, one thing didn't go away, was her penchant for worrying. Mm-hmm. She was a worrywart, and even though she couldn't remember the names of her family members and other things in her life, she would say, "Well, are you okay? Is he okay? Did he get home okay? Is she going to be all right?" So I'm wondering what would be...
That would probably be mine.
If it ever happened to us, what trait would we cling to? Lakeshore listeners, what trait would you cling to if you happen to get afflicted by dementia or Alzheimer's that it would just stay to your core? And I thought that was very interesting. I've written about this subject a lot, but never thought of that.
My grandma never lost her sense of her street smarts.
Oh, really?
She had dementia, and she was always just right there with like a witty comeback or something.
Neat.
She had it pretty bad, but... Always in like certain moments when you least expect it, she has the most intelligent thing to say.
That's my point.
Yeah.
What trait would stick with us? And I have no idea what it would be with
me. Your dirty jokes.
Maybe it would.
I think it would probably
even
be that.
Even as an 89-year-old man with dementia. So you could ponder that, Lakeshore listeners, while you're driving around. We appreciate listening to Casual Fries. We're at the end of our hour.
Oh, already?
Thanks, Susan Jones. Go to visit Indy if you get a chance. We appreciate that. And also, I guess enjoy this weekend. Mm-hmm. It's a little chilly, but still have a nice time and
Have a Casual Fries. Happy early 18th birthday to my son, Bobby. He turns 18 on Monday.
Happy birthday. Bob. All right. Take care, everyone. Have a good weekend.